Okay, we want to welcome everyone that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. We're going to be in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16, we will be in verse 16 through 21 this morning. And this is probably as important a scripture as we can study because of what it means for us who are Christians today, who've been born again, and what we have is the Word of God and the great importance of it. Peter writes in the beginning in the 16th verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is My Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin or beginning in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along or borne along by the Holy Spirit." Now, as Peter writes this to these Christians, these church scattered throughout the five provinces, he knows one thing of a surety, and that is that they are having many false teachers surrounding them. And so as he writes to them, understanding what they're going through, he makes a point to emphasize this a great deal. He wants them to understand that there will be people, there will be teachers, there will be those among them that try to lead them astray. And so he wants them to understand the accuracy and the infallibility and non-errancy, if you will, of the Word of God that they have. He wants them to grasp, to take hold of this in their own lives. And so in Scripture, what we find is, I'll just go through some of the statements in the Old and New Testament. "The law of the Lord is perfect," Scripture says. "Thy word is pure," the Scripture says. "The law is truth," the Scripture says. "All thy commandments are truth," the Scripture says. "The sum of thy word is truth," the Scripture says. "Every one of thy righteous ordinances endures forever," the Scripture says. "All the commandments are righteous," the Scripture says. "The law is holy, just, and good," Scripture says. "Scripture cannot be broken," it says. "Every word of God is pure and flawless. Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until it is all fulfilled." Scripture is even called the Word of Truthfulness. In Isaiah 65:16, the Lord calls Himself the God of Truth. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, the prophet writes, "The Lord is the true God." In John 3:33, God is truthful. John 17:3, God says, "The only true God." John writes 5:20 in John 5:20, he is the true God. 2,000 direct claims to the fact in Scripture that God Himself is speaking through the Scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, is mentioned in Scripture. Isaiah 1:2, we find in Scripture, the Word of God said. We find in Scripture, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. That is Isaiah 1:2. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said of God, thy word is truth. So over and over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have the verification of Scripture that is absolutely true, that it is the inerrant word of God that has its origin and its beginnings in God Himself, not in man. Not in man. Now, I want to, first of all, show you two ways that Peter is verifying the truth of the Word of God here. And to do that, we're going to begin, actually, in the 16th verse. We're going to begin in the 16th verse. There are two ways that he verifies the truth of Scripture. And that is, first of all, by experience of the apostles, and secondly, by Scripture itself. So first of all, in verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. These are not stories we made up. These are not stories we just wrote down when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus. But notice what he says. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In other words, what he is saying, we walked with Jesus. We communicated with Jesus. We saw Jesus crucified. We saw Jesus buried. We saw Jesus resurrected. And we saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration into heaven. Now, if you want to see what he's talking about here, we will go to Matthew chapter 17. Peter is speaking what? From eyewitness experiences through the life, not only the life of Jesus Christ, but the life, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God experienced by Peter, an apostle of God. In Matthew chapter 17, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, here we have, you would think that there could be nothing more convincing than the testimony of the experience that Peter had here with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You would think there could be nothing more of surety than this experience that Peter had on the Mount of Transfiguration after he's walked with Christ on earth, after he has conversed with Christ on earth. He's seen the miracles that Christ did on earth. He has seen Christ crucified. He has seen Christ buried. He has seen Christ resurrected. And he has communed with Christ after he has been resurrected. And now he has gone with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he has seen Christ transform into his original glory, if you will, before his very eyes. And he has seen Elijah and Moses come down out of heaven and speak with Jesus verbally. You would think that there could be nothing that would cement their own belief in the Word of God than that experience that Peter has had throughout the life of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and seeing Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You'd think that would settle the issue, right? But Peter goes beyond that. He goes beyond the experience that he's had, which he uses here for them to understand that I'm not just writing about something I haven't experienced myself. I'm writing to you about these experiences that I've had with myself in the life and the death, burial, and resurrection and the transfiguration to glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen it with my own eyes. I am an eyewitness to what I'm writing about. Okay. But Peter knows this. The Jews and the people at that time put more veracity into what God has said than what people have experienced. For them, the word of the prophets was more of a surety than Peter writing about his own experiences. Now, when I look at that, and I look at my own life, and I look at people that have come to me doubting their salvation, I understand what he's talking about. I understand what he's talking about. Because I never, when somebody comes to me and they says, "Brother Jack, I'm doubting my salvation. I want to know whether I'm truly saved or not." I don't ask them to depend on what kind of experience they had. I tell them to go to the Word of God. And through the Word of God, as we did over a 2-week period studying in the book of 1 John, going to the Word of God, they can know of a surety that they have been born again. Because listen to me, every one of us can have a different experience in our coming to Christ. Some of us know the very day, the very hour, the very minute that we were born again. We've got it written down in our Bibles. Some of us don't know the very hour, the very minute, the very day that we came to Christ. Some came to Christ in church. Some came to Christ like I did at work. Some, I know Ed and Roy Douglas came to Christ in a creek bed. Everyone has different experiences. And so we can't say, well, you just depend upon the experience that you had. But what we can say, and we do know, is go look at the Word of God, and by the Word of God, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been born from above, that you are a child of God, even if you can't remember the exact moment that it happened. And everybody's experience can be different. Now, in saying everybody's experience can be different, everybody's saved same way. We're all saved the same way. We're all led by the Holy Spirit to be convicted of our sin. We're all led by the Holy Spirit to believe the gospel. We're all led by the Holy Spirit to repent of our sin. And we're all led by the Holy Spirit to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to commit ourselves to Him as Lord and Savior in our life. And our life changes. And we see the changes in my life, but they are verified through the Word of God, not by how I feel about something that happened to me. And so when Peter writes here, in the book of 2 Peter, he is not only saying, you would think it would be enough for him to say, look at what I've seen, look at what I've experienced in my life. But he doesn't stop there, because he knows that there's a greater truth than even his own experiences. There's a greater truth than even his own experiences, and that is the Word of God. So I'm going to begin reading back here in verse 16, and I'm going to read down through where we did before. Notice what he said. We did not follow cleverly invented stories. So what is he saying to them? I didn't make this up. I couldn't make this up. I couldn't make this up, what I'm telling you here in 1st and 2nd Peter. I couldn't make this stuff up. We did not follow clearly invited stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he said. We were eyewitnesses of what? His majesty. His majesty. And then what does he say after that? Eyewitnesses of what? For he received honor and glory from God the Father. When the voice came to him, what did they see? They saw his glory restored. They saw his glory and honor coming down out of heaven, enveloping him and changing him right before their very eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, and a voice came down from heaven saying, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. With him I'm well pleased. We ourselves, they not only heard, they not only saw what happened, but they heard the voice from heaven. It says, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from majestic glory, saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We not only saw it, we heard it. We not only saw what happened. We not only saw Elijah and Moses coming down out of heaven. We not only saw Jesus transfigured there on the mountain before our very eyes, but we audibly heard the voice of God coming down out of heaven as well. You would think that would be enough, right? But then he goes on, and he carries on from there, and he says, but there is something even more certain than the experience we had. So let's see what he says. He says, verse 19, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain. Your translation say, a more sure word from God. A more sure word for God. And then what does he say? And you will do well to pay attention to it. And you will do well to pay attention to it. And so, let me get my notes now, because I don't want to miss anything that I need to say about this. What is this that we have in the Word of God? It is a supernatural revelation of God from God Himself. The Word of God is a supernatural revelation from God of the Word of God from Himself. And that's why Peter says we have a more sure word than even me telling you of my own experiences. And that is when God has spoken through the prophets in the Old Testament, that's what they had. When God has spoken to you through the prophets in the Old Testament, and now we see it fulfilled in the New Testament, he says we have a more sure word from God than even me as an eyewitness. Because that's what they relied on more than anything else. Boy. That's what they relied on more than anything else, was a surety of the Word of God. So, first of all, there was a supernatural experience that Peter had. Secondly, there is a supernatural revelation. The supernatural experience was the apostles with Jesus Christ. The supernatural revelation is the Word of God spoken by the prophets. The Word of God spoken by the prophets and by Christ Himself on the earth. So, next Sunday, we're going to be studying about the surety of the supernatural revelation, or the Word of God itself that we have before us. When I pick up this Bible and I read this Word, I can know of certainty that this is God speaking to me. As He spoke through the prophets and through Christ and through the apostles, I can know for certain in my own life that what I am reading is the Word of God without error, without failure. It is God speaking to me. And that is why it is so important that this be nailed down in your life as a believer. Because you're going to have people come to you and say, why do you believe what you do? What's this thing about you thinking you can't lose your salvation? What's this stuff you believe about the sovereignty of God? They're going to ask you these things. So what does he say here? You would do well to pay attention to it. You would do well. And that word well, that means you would do well to honor the Word of God. You would do well to understand the excellency of the Word of God. In other words, this is more important than anything else in your life. Now, this is what really bothers me. I say that, and I know it's absolutely true for me and for you. But how many people are going to walk through those doors in the next 5-15 minutes that never come to Bible study? That never study their Bible through the week? That never read the Word? They just come, hear it preached on Sunday morning, leave home, put their Bible on a shelf, and that's it. And Peter says, you would do well to honor it. You would do well to pay attention to the Word of God, because it is God speaking to you. It is even a greater witness than ourselves as eyewitnesses of the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's writing to them here, because he knows how important it is. Because he knows they're going to have people coming at them from everywhere saying, why in the world would you believe this stuff? Why in the world? I was watching television, I guess. I had the news on last... I didn't think I turned it on this morning. I was watching the news. And these newscasters on Channel 6, they said, we have discovered a new shark in Kentucky. Did you see that? A new shark in Kentucky. They found this fossil in this mammoth cave, I guess. It was in a cave in Kentucky. And they'd found this fossil of a fish, a shark, they said, a type of shark. And they said it was 500 million years old. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This planet ain't 500 million years old. But we're fed this junk through the media, through the people that are around us constantly, all the time. And if you watch Natural Geographic, you'll be fed this junk all the time. And you got to know what you believe and why you believe it. What you believe and why. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can do that is through the Word of God. That's the only way. There is no other way. And so that's why he is stressing the importance of it here in 2 Peter chapter 1 as he writes to these Christians and these churches here. And I'd say the same thing to us today. It cannot be stressed how important the Word of God is in our life as a believer. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your Word, which is a perfect treasure. It is an infallible gift from heaven, from an almighty God to us, thus saith the Lord. May we treat it as such in our own lives. May we learn not only to hear it and believe it, but to obey it. Give us the strength and the power through your Holy Spirit to live a life as a bright light shining, that the world might see Christ in us. Bless the service to follow. I pray if anyone is in this service to follow that is lost, that has never come to Christ, that has never repented of their sins, I pray this would be the day they would. In Jesus' name we pray.